Hello, Mzansi. You are listening to Farmers Inside Track, proudly brought to you by Food for Mzansi. I'm your host, Duncan Masiwa, and welcome to this episode powered by Sansor. On this episode, we tackle a disease every maize farmer needs to know about, and that's Goss's wilt. Our guest, Dr. Rikus Kroppers, private consultant at Robigalia Crop Care, breaks down what Goss's wilt is, why it's important, and the serious impact it can have on your crops. Dr. Kroppers also shares insight into how the disease spreads and what signs farmers should look out for if they suspect it's made its way onto their farms. More importantly, he offers practical advice on what steps to take to manage and control this disease. Welcome, Doctor. It's lovely having you on our podcast.
Thank you for the opportunity to share this important information with you and the listeners.
Geez, what a name. I've never heard of the name Goss's wilt. What on earth is Goss's wilt? Let's maybe start the conversation there. And why is it so important?
Well, I think you're not the only one who didn't know about the name. And I think a lot of us hope we never heard about the name. But it is a new bacterial disease that made its way into South Africa. Well, it's actually not a new disease per se, because it's been in the U.S. for a very long time, I think 30-odd years. So it's not unknown to plant pathologists in the maize industry, but yeah, we never had it. It's caused by a bacterium called the Clavibacter michiganensis, subspecies nebraskensis. And for the shorter version now, it's almost Clavibacter nebraskensis. And as the name basically said, it says it was first found and reported as a disease in Nebraska in the USA. And which makes it a little bit different from the other diseases that we've been used to, the fungal diseases that we can identify easy. This is new. This is a bit tricky and is bacterial and can cause a lot of potential damage.
So then what causes the spread of Goss's wilt and what is the impact of it?
The spread of Goss's wilt and the way it actually made its way into South Africa was probably through seed. So far, Goss's wilt has only been known to occur in the U.S. over the Corn Belt and up into Western Canada and nowhere else in the world. Early in 2024, kind of the first reports came through and it was kind of confirmed later in the year that it is indeed Clavibacter nebraskensis that made its way to South Africa. So the suspicion is clearly that it might have been through seed. But the amazing thing about this disease, although one bacteria can move across from one continent to the other, that's not the main way of its distribution, actually. But that was probably the way it traveled over the ocean. But once it establishes in the country, the seed-borne and the seed transmission aspect of that is extremely low. And it's actually more when you have a field that is infected with a disease and you send the combine through and the dust particles, they just fly all over the world and they can spread over vast distances, especially if you have a lot of susceptible hybrids planted in the same area. You can imagine the kind of inoculum cloud that you are creating and that just spreads. And that's exactly what happened in the U.S. many years ago, is the way that it spread on winds all over the Corn Belt.
As you mentioned, I can imagine some farmers who have never heard of Goss's wilt or don't even know how to identify it. What advice would you give to farmers who suspect that they have it on their farm?
Well, at this stage, I would really say, I think a lot of farmers are very hesitant to report the disease because there have been in the past some incidences where a new disease or a pest arrives in the country and quarantine measures takes place. And I think they are very scared of announcing that they have disease on their farm. And the one thing that I wanted to say to them, after our discussions with the Department of Agriculture, our National Plant Protection Organization, they all confirmed to us that is not going to happen. The disease has been fairly widespread in South Africa, so you can't really quarantine the whole maize industry in South Africa. For us, it's actually more important now that if you find the disease on your farm, is to report it. Report it to the Department of Agriculture, report it to your local seed representative and agronomist who can actually escalate that message. Because for us, it's now really critical that we know where the disease is. You know, we always say, once you know your enemy, you know, if you can measure something, then you can manage it. And in this case, we don't know where it is. I know the department is busy with a delimited survey. So basically trying to find out where this disease is spread to all over, but it's fairly widespread. So I would say the first thing is just to recognize the fact that the disease is on your farm. And there are different ways than that just to look at and what are the signs and how to identify it.
I know that seed companies are doing amazing work in developing seeds that are disease resistant. This is quite new for us. What are seed companies doing about Gosse's wilt?
Well, the primary way of managing the disease, and was basically the success story in the US in managing the disease, to one that's of lesser importance now, I would say, in that area, is through resistant breeding. And so hybrids that are resistant to the disease is basically the primary method of managing the disease. And yes, so we didn't have the disease in the country, and obviously then you can't select for resistance against the disease. But what we have, though, seen is that because of exchange of germplasm across the globe, you know, it's a small word, multinational companies, they have counterparts in the US and Brazil and everywhere, you know, in the world. So they exchange very good germplasm. And so we've already seen some of that already resistant germplasm that was developed for 30 years or odd in the US has made its way to South Africa. So we're seeing some resistance, although we never actually bred for it specifically. But for now on, I would say, there's huge focus from the different seed companies and the breeders to incorporate that resistance or tolerance into the locally adapted germplasm. And that is really a big priority. And to get out that information to the producers and say to them, if you are in a risk area, this hybrid is a low-risk hybrid in terms of Gosse's wilt.
Dr. Kloppers, I think this conversation is very much important because it touches on the very heart of what farmers are struggling with, and that is the fight to protect their crops and I suppose their livelihoods as well. What is the seed industry doing to keep farmers safe from new diseases like Gosse's wilt?
Seed industry is actually well regulated, and through bodies like SAMSO, you know, there's a seed certification schemes out there. Seed productions in case, they are monitored almost on a daily basis, and any foreign or strange symptom that's seen in those production are either sampled or reported. So the chance of a severe infected Gosse field to end up as commercial seed is actually very low. And even if there's a few symptoms on a production and there's some bacteria in the seed, transmission rate is actually very small. I think 0.05 or something percent like that. It's extremely low. So if the seed is well monitored, and through bodies, as I say, like science, so they monitor, they control it, and I don't think that is the big risk in terms of spreading the disease for now.
Well, there you have it. That was, of course, Dr. Hikkis Kloppers, private consultant at Robigalia Crop Care. You can, of course, read more on this topic by visiting www.fruitfromzanzi.co.za. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss any of the episodes. From me, Duncan Masiwa, our technical producer, Megan van der Vent, and the rest of hashtag Team Food from Zanzi. Thanks for listening.